Hi, and welcome to episode number 36 of the Introvert Biz Growth Podcast, the show where I talk to introverts who grow their business and make a difference. I'm Sarah Zenacroce, your host, and I'm so happy that you're here again today, spending this time with me and listening to today's episode. I'm talking to Dmitry Dragilev, who 2 years ago single-handedly grew a startup from 0 to 40 million page views through SEO, PR outreach, and got acquired by Google. Now he has translated his know-how into Just Reach Out, a SaaS launched in early 2016, which is now used by more than 4,000 small businesses and startups, as well as big ones such as Airbnb, HubSpot, Lead Pages, and Nickelodeon, to pitch relevant journalists and get press coverage without the help of PR firms. In his spare time, he writes on Criminally Prolific and coaches students on how to reach out to prospects through PR That Converts coaching program. I'll introduce you to Dmitry in a second, but before that, I want to tell you about a cool opportunity that I'd like to introduce you to, and that's starting September 13th. So you might remember that in the past, I've told you about how much I hated public speaking, and it's actually kind of funny because about 50% of introverts I noticed on this podcast, about 50% hate public speaking. And then there's the other 50% who actually love it. But me, I used to hate it. But with time, I have overcome my fear and actually almost enjoy it now. So being on camera is similar to public speaking, but you're typically talking into a webcam or a phone and not to a room full of people. Some might argue that doing online video is even more challenging than speaking on stage because you don't have the live audience to give you energy and adrenaline. Either way, it can be even more difficult if you're an introvert. And as I'm talking on the Introvert Biz Growth podcast, I'm sure that, you know, most of you actually have these kind of feelings when it comes to online video. And that's why I've invited Lou Bortone, a friend and colleague and video marketing strategist, and he's actually been on the podcast before as a guest. And we've put together an easy and ridiculously affordable 7-day video for introverts program. And you can go find out the details at sarahzenacroce.com/Lou Bortone. And remember, if you're listening to this episode on a mobile device, just go on the description and you'll find the clickable link in there. So this is a 7-day training that comes with 2 training webinars. So these are non-pitch webinars, really just training with Lou and I, where we teach you how to get over your camera fear and just embrace it. And so it comes with strategies from Lou. We also have a private Facebook group where you can post your videos and when you get feedback and, you know, kind of like tips and tricks. And we also have every day a little video prompt for you that either gives you kind of, again, strategy or tip, or just encouragement and accountability. So if you as well would like to do more video, and we really think you should, because Cisco actually says that in the future, most online traffic will come from video. And if I look at my teenagers, you know, what they're doing and how they consume content, it's definitely always YouTube. So that's why we think you should really start embracing video content. And we know that it's more difficult for introverts. That's why we're creating this program. As I said, really affordable, $27 for the 2 full-length webinars, as well as the feedback in the group. So have a look at sarahzenacroce.com/Lou Bortone, and we'd love to meet you there. And so now on to the show, the conversation with Dmitry Dragilev. Hi, Dmitry. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Well, thanks so much for coming on to the show. I can't even remember. I was trying to remember where I came across. Oh, maybe it was at Entrepreneurs on Fire. Maybe it was
The Entrepreneur on Fire podcast.
Yeah, I think that's where I heard you. And then I reached out to you because I heard you mention that you were an introvert. I'm like, there you go. So that's how I first came across you. So besides your official bio that I just read in the intro, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your story. I just went onto your website and saw obviously what you had there. So tell us that story and maybe something that the introverted listeners and entrepreneurs can relate to as well.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I used to be a software engineer. I worked at a giant software company, and I did not like to speak with other people. So as your classic introvert, I did not like to engage in conversations or anything like that with too many people. I just kind of kept to myself, and I had my computer science time. I was younger. I think I graduated by the time I was 21. And then after that, I ended up got a job at BAE Systems, which was a software company for Department of Defense, and just kind of was a software engineer and lived a very quiet kind of life out of college. I was really big nerd in college, computer science major. And eventually, I just kind of started looking around. I worked at a few other companies while I was in college. I worked at SolidWorks, which is a giant CAD company, right? And I worked at these boring, huge companies, basically, for a while. And I looked around. I was like, you know, there's got to be something more to life where I can feel excited Sunday night going to work. Right. Because I already was kind of dreading going to work. Like, I was just working at this giant company, and there's all this bureaucracy, all these meetings. You have to dress appropriately, and it was just not for me. I mean, I didn't, the corporate ladder, the success there, I was just not that excited about it after a little while. And so I quit, and I moved to California. Because I was reading this magazine, Web 2.0 magazine, and I was seeing all these companies, these young people my age would get funding to start a company and can pay themselves a salary from it. And that was just crazy in my mind. I thought it was wild.
Did you move from?
So I lived in New Hampshire. So I immigrated from Russia when I was 11 with my mom. And my sister and my grandparents, and my dad stayed behind. And then we came to New Hampshire, and we kind of made a life for ourselves in New Hampshire. I helped out to bring up my sister. And then when she grew up enough to go to school, I kind of did my own thing at school. But we had like this quiet little life in New Hampshire, and we're trying to adapt to the culture. And there's a lot of things that I had to go through, basically, when you come here as 11-year-old from the Soviet Union. Yeah. It's like, it was just like a big change, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially those times, like 80s, 90s, there wasn't much in Russia back then, and in the stores and everything. You come here, it was a big shock, you know, all the different foods and all the different, just everything, you know, stores and
selection,
the variety of everything. So it was pretty much a big shock, culture shock. I didn't speak English. There's lots of selection, variety of foods and everything. So I just went through a lot of that. But I was really, you know, I couldn't even speak to other people because I didn't know English. And that's how my, like, you know, introvert type of a character was really reinforced, I guess. You can't really make friends or anything when you don't know the language. Or I started learning language after a year or two coming here, but still I couldn't speak to people in regular, you know, like I would not pronounce things correctly. I would not know the slang or anything like that. And
definitely doesn't help. Yeah. Not having the language, that's for sure.
Yeah. Even in college, you know, it was like, I could speak English just fine, but I just didn't know. I still to this day, I don't have any cultural associations with Americans. You know, I miss all the cartoons, all the Transformers, all the Star Wars. I missed all that. I missed everything completely. I have no association to it. I was bred in here. So I was like this weird creature, you know, but California was really my start to changing and moving into extrovert more.
That's interesting. So, I mean, even the move to California was a big move, you know, for an American, that's a big change going from New Hampshire to California. So, was it almost like a culture shock again, or to you, it didn't feel very different?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a culture shock. I was young and I graduated from college, computer science degree. I was excited to start a career and I moved up pretty quick in these companies. I worked at BAE Systems as Department of Defense contractor, and I had the clearance and I had all these papers I had to sign and government witness that would witness my work every day. So it was kind of crazy for me to just say, you know what, this whole career thing that I went to school for computer science and I got this nice job and I would just kind of forego all that and quit and move across. I was starting to date this girl who's now my wife, and she wanted to move out of California. So she was moving out for graduate school, and she found a place in Monterey, California, actually. And she wanted to go to it because that's one of the few trade schools in the country. There's not that many schools that teach trade policy, and that's what she wanted to learn. And so, or get a master's in. And so I said, well, you know, we've been dating for a little bit. I like you and I don't like my job. And I know there's a lot of startups and entrepreneurs in California getting a lot of money from investors. And I want to go, I want to check it out. And my family thought I was crazy, you know, quitting your job, you know, I had some savings, but what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'll make it, you know, I'll go for MBA, okay? I'll get an MBA out there, okay? That's why I'll move out. So that was my kind of like reason for pretty much moving.
Your excuse, let's just say.
Yeah, the excuse for my family and to myself to just say, all right, we're going to get an MBA, and my wife is getting a trade policy master's degree, and we're going to live in Monterey, which is amazing. It's like on the beach. And yeah, so that was the start of like,
well, sounds like it all worked out for you in terms of business and personal life, if you've now married your then girlfriend. And tell us more about the business success. So what are you doing now, and kind of what's the business model of PR that converts, and you know, what other adventures you're into currently?
Sure. Yeah. So fast forward to now, this was 2007. It's been 10 years. So I run PR That Converts and Just Reach Out. So PR That Converts is a one-on-one coaching program where I coach people to gain traffic and exposure and publicity through contacting journalists and influencers and bloggers and really anybody who has your audience. So if you can think of somebody who has your audience either reading their website or engaging with their product, or anything else that they have to offer, you can contact them and figure out how to build a relationship with that person and actually have them promote your company, whatever you're doing. And so the course and the coaching program is designed to help people get better at it. And whether it's you're pitching a journalist about a story, or whether you're striking up a partnership deal with another company, it's the skills are similar to start a relationship. And so this kind of stuff is like completely foreign to me when I started out 10 years ago, right? Now I'm teaching this stuff. And so it's a course, people go through the video course, then we hop on Skype calls and I help them implement these things so that they don't just watch a bunch of videos and I leave them to do their own thing. They actually hop on Skype calls and coach them through the process. And and they get a whole bunch of other things with it. They get my software and databases of journalists and influencers and bloggers, all sorts of different stuff. So PR That Converts, that's the coaching program. And so, yeah, we have close to, 500 total students, but 200 that are very active students in the coaching program now, which is exciting for me. It's allowed me to live a life where I don't need to do consulting anymore. I don't need to do freelance anymore. I don't need to work for anybody else. I can just run this coaching program and help people out. And then the other thing that I do is I run a software company. It's called Just Reach Out. And I built it myself. Actually, I started building it when I moved out to California back in 2008, 2009. And, you know, it was very much a work in progress, and nothing really was being done until about 3 years ago when I took this seriously and I ended up launching it. But yeah, Just Reach Out is a software service which you subscribe for, and it helps you find journalists, find bloggers, find influencers, find those people that would promote you somehow, and write an email to them and pitch them your idea to see if they would cover it or feature it or maybe talk to you about it, and also build a relationship with them. So you're not just using the software to pitch your ideas and get press, and you use the software to create relationships with these influencers, these bloggers, these people out there. And so the software has 4,000 small businesses that use it to build relationships with journalists and bloggers and influencers every day. And we have all sorts of different use cases. We have search engine optimization professionals who are using this for backlinking and getting, you know, back and forth email threads going with bloggers and influencers. Mm-hmm. Or we have your typical small business, you know, at the coffee shop, or we have an author, we have also 4,000 businesses. So we have all sorts of, all walks of life. And we have large companies too, HubSpot, and Airbnb, and Semantic, and some of these others. We also do the PR outreach on your behalf too. So if you don't have time to learn how to do it or don't have the patience, we have a team of people who do the PR outreach on your behalf in the software itself. So
that's interesting. So you kind of have is that like on a subscription basis?
It is.
That program. So it's a monthly fee.
It's $65 a month for the software, right, and then $99 a month for the PR outreach service. And it's low enough where most people can afford it and get help with it. I'd say the majority of them jump on the $99 a month because they just want somebody else to take care of it. And right, it actually improves the quality of the email pitches that.
Well, I guess have. Because you know, you're experts at it and know what to say in those pitches.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's hard. Like somebody comes to us and we're like, we're their popcorn store. And we're like, oh, geez. You sell is popcorn, that's it. And you're in the middle of the country here in Alabama. Like, gosh, this is so hard, you know? And so then we start thinking, what's the entrepreneurship story? What can we learn from the ups and downs and the failures this person had? And how did they start this business? And so we try and create a better angle or story here.
Right. While I hear you talking, what is interesting to me is that, you know, traditionally or usually pitching is something that's really difficult for introverts. And it's just funny to hear that you actually made a business out of it. Did that ever, you know, did you ever think of that? How that's kind of strange because, you know, I don't necessarily like to do it myself. Or, you know, actually you did get really good at it doing yourself so that you then realized, well, I need to offer this kind of service to other people.
Yeah, I think it's the latter. When I was practicing doing this, it was really painful and hard for me because I wanted to work for startups, but I didn't want to be doing the exact same thing I was doing before, which was coding and software development. I wanted to learn how to build a business because I was reading these magazines and these young people my age were building these businesses and selling them to other people and making a lot of money. And they had these lives where they could just go and swim in the pool and then go and drink some beer and then have lunch and then get back to their office and work. And they called the shots. And I was just so envious of these people that were in Silicon Valley and really everywhere, but seemed like at the time, this was 2006, that everything was in Silicon Valley and just getting hot. And Facebook was growing insanely, and all these fancy companies, and they were talking about their offices. And I thought, wow, this is just, I want to do this. I want that for myself. But, you know, I showed up and they said, well, what's your experience? And I would talk to different companies and I didn't have any experience in it. And so I'm like, well, how do I get into it? It's really hard for me to talk to other people anyways. And how do I do marketing? How do I do business? How do I learn how to do it? I tried to read online and find some articles about it, but it just wasn't cutting it. I started my MBA program and my focus was entrepreneurship. And little by little, I started learning a bit. But about 2 weeks into it, I was fortunate enough to meet an alumni of the university of Middlebury College, where I was getting my MBA. And he was an alumni of the same business school, the same program. And he came here later than I did, but he came from India. And he was kind of in a similar boat as me. And so we connected and he liked my story. He was starting a business. He was number 20 at LinkedIn. He had left LinkedIn just around that time that I moved to California, and he was starting a new business and he was looking for an intern. And I said, I'd work for free. And so he gave me a task. He said, listen, you don't have any experience doing this stuff, but I need to test you somehow because there's just so many applicants I can, you know, like evaluate here. I have one of them. And so he gave me this task. He said, we don't have a brand yet. We don't really have a real company yet, but we have a website and I'd love for you to create a Wikipedia page for it. And so I thought, well, that's an easy task. You know, why not just do it yourself? It's so easy. You just go and create a new page on Wikipedia. And little did I know that it's actually really hard to keep a page up on Wikipedia. I mean, the minute you create something on Wikipedia, something new, you'll get attacked by tons of editors saying, hey, you're self-promoting yourself, you're creating something about your own business. Yeah, of course. So Wikipedia is very tightly controlled, so against self-promotion and advertising. And so I just scrambled right away, but I was able to keep it up. I was referencing this person, this guy Mrinal, his past work and where he was at before and startups he was part of before. And so some of the new funding that we were going to close. And so anyway, the page Crossloop is still up now. The company's called Crossloop. And yeah, so it was a good test. I got the job as an intern. And 3 years later, that company was acquired by ABG. And it was a wild ride. We closed. I remember I started there. 2 months later, we closed $3 million.
Wow, you were definitely there at the right time.
Literally 6 months after that, we closed $6 million, which was crazy for me. I thought it was ridiculous. I was like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Like, we did $3 million, then half, literally almost like 6 or 9 months, like six more million, there's $9 million. So it was like crazy. We hired 25 people. The CEO quit after a year. We had to get another. It was just like this crazy ride. Right. And then this was 2008. Like the financial crisis pretty much happened right after we closed all that money. And I graduated from my MBA and I was like, I don't know. I'm not going back to New Hampshire or Boston for sure. There's no jobs for me there. And I was at the startup and then I ended up going to another company afterwards. And so I just kind of kept on it. I lived in California for 6 years. And after that, I worked at another company called Polar, which was acquired by Google in 2014. And I was there. There's only three people. We had like six people total, but I was the first employee. And that was really, really cool as well. This was later in my career, 2014 or so, Google was acquired. But yeah.
Cool. Well, let's bring the conversation back a little bit to the whole topic of introversion. And I like to talk about what I call the introverted superpowers. In your opinion, what's your biggest strength as an introverted entrepreneur? What helped you, you know, grow those businesses that you mentioned?
Yeah, I think having a drive to build my own business really was what pushed me towards becoming more extroverted and fighting, not really fighting, but really pushing myself to do it. Because I knew that if I just stayed in my job or stayed in the positions where it felt comfortable, it would not lead me to anything different. So I was very much accustomed to difficult or challenging myself, right? So like when we first came to this country, I had to learn this culture and the language and the way of life here. I had to adapt to it. It was really hard and tough, but then afterwards it felt good. You know, like I had friends and it was worth it to do this. I could have just tried to go to some Russian speaking neighborhood of New York and just kind of ask my family to stay there or something. But we kind of like persevered there. And so I was used to challenging myself and pushing. And so I had this dream of starting a company. I wanted to have my own business and I didn't know how to do it or anything about it. And I also didn't have a lot of expertise or really, I wasn't good at talking to people. I wasn't good at asking them for stuff.
So would you say it's focus that was, you know, the skill, the strength that you think as an introverted strength that helped you grow this business?
Yeah, focus, yeah. Goal. I had a goal in mind. Mm. I wanted to start my own company and have it be successful. Right. And I knew I needed that skill to talk with people. Because
right.
When I would ask people something, I would always be afraid of asking, first of all. And then eventually I learned that, hey, like the worst they can do is say no. So like, everybody kept saying that to me, but I was like, yeah, but I don't want to look like an ass. I don't want to look like stupid to people. And so I just got over that after a while because I was able to get so much by just asking, you know, can I have a free internship or can I have this or that? And people would just, you know, they'd be fine. And so, as I practiced it and got better with it, and Mernal, by the way, taught me a lot during those 3 years, like how to build relationships and strike up conversations. So as an introvert, I had this goal that kept pushing me, you know, to get a little better at it. But without a goal, if you want to become more extroverted, I think you need to have something that's pushing you towards talking to people, whether it's, you know, you want to be in a band or you have some hobby you want to be better at or.
Right. What about a kind of a challenge? So you're saying that what pushed you towards, you know, kind of going out there and building this business is the focus and the goal. What would you say was your challenge? Was it the fact that, you find it hard to ask for help and the fear of rejection? Would you say that that's the biggest challenge that you had? Or was there something else that's related to introversion?
Well, as an introvert, I just wanted to keep to myself. I wanted to do my own thing. And I thought, you know, I'll just quietly do work and have a few friends. And I don't need this, like, fame. I didn't need a lot of people knowing what I do and what I'm. I was like thinking, oh, maybe I'll like get a few investors and they'll kind of give me some money and I'll just kind of stay in this siloed world. And I would talk to a few people and I would hire people to do that kind of stuff. And then eventually, like, I realized that if I hire people, they wouldn't really know exactly what I wanted to say and it would take a long time to communicate that to them. And then that would just defeat the purpose and I'm like, well, I kind of have to be better at it anyway because I need to talk to all these people that would like get me what I want. Like I didn't know like how to get traffic or get people to buy products and I didn't know how to get that done. And I saw all these professionals doing it, but they were expensive and I needed to figure out how to do this thing, this part. I knew how to write code and I was really good at it. But I was looking at it thinking, well, the only thing that I know is writing code, I will not be able to build a business. There's just no way because I need to find customers. Like, how do I find customers? And the way to find customers is that you have to describe what you do. And I think one time I was sitting in this coffee shop, somebody asked me what I was doing. I was working with one of these startups. And I like just started talking, and they started looking towards like their floor and then their phone. And I was like, oh, I'm losing them. Like, I don't, and like, this is the classic issue I have. Like, I can't like have a real conversation with them. And so, you know, nowadays it's like, I love this stuff. Like I go and meet with my customers, and I actually ask them to describe what I do and my companies to other people who don't know about it. And I know that, and I look at how that is going and figure, you know, find issues with that. I actually love that exercise of having a customer just turn around to somebody else at a coffee shop and describe what Just Reach Out does in a sentence or two. And it's painful, but it's really, really good to know.
It's a good practice. Yeah.
But that was, I guess, the pain point for me that I had to do it. If I wanted to have my own business, I had to figure out how to talk to customers at least in order to get like 2, 3, or 5. And I think hiring anybody to do it for you is just not the same. Once you have a pattern down, then yeah, you can like hire somebody to scale it. But if you don't, then...
Yeah. Cool. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the 3 golden nuggets that I always ask my guests about. So the first one is a personal habit, something that you do, you know, a routine task that you do every day that you think contributes to your success.
So, I mean, 3 daily habits. So I guess one thing that I do is, well, this is not really daily. I try to do it weekly.
That's good. That's a routine if you do it weekly, right?
Meditate, right?
Okay.
So I meditate. I find that people don't live in the present enough these days. I mean, maybe it's always been like that, but it seems as though, and there's a couple studies that came out from Harvard, and there was actually a great TED talk about it. People more than 70% of the time think about the future. So we as humans are programmed to do that in our routines day to day. So we go to work, we're thinking what are we going to be doing at work. At work during lunch hour, we're thinking about dinner time and what are we going to have for dinner. And then at dinner time, we're talking about next day, and then we go to sleep, and then it all kind of starts again. Nobody's really like cherishing the moment right now, kind of like looking around. So nobody's like, the present moment is kind of like, we throw it away.
So you deal with that by meditating.
Trying to meditate and clear all those thoughts about the future.
Right.
And combat it somehow, because running your own business, it's like you're always thinking, but oh, what are these people saying? What am I going to do tomorrow? How should my priority, what's my priorities? It's crazy.
Of course. Yeah. And so you need to find those moments to just kind of, you know, check out. And obviously it's not easy, right? Meditation is not easy. And your mind will go off, but that's the practice of meditation, is to come back and really stay focused. Yeah. So
yeah.
I totally agree with you. What about an internet resource, something, you know, a tool that you use online, maybe that you use with your team?
So with my team, we're remote. We have my entire team is remote. And so we use Slack, and most people these days use something similar to Slack or Slack itself. I think a lot of times what I tend to do is I use Inbox One Ready, which is a good one where there's a couple of these plugins, but basically it stops your inbox email. And it's good because I feel like we're all addicted to that quick dopamine hit of responding to an email that came in. And it's just so hard to not do. Like, it's so easy to just come in and just, oh, let me clean up my inbox. I'll just clean out all these emails that have come in. And you end up wasting so much effort and time doing this. And at the end of the day, what do you have? You have a clean inbox.
But you haven't accomplished anything.
Yeah, what does that really mean? And I know that like keeps you organized, and you're like, okay, like I've done and I've answered all these people, all these questions that they had. But the inbox dopamine hit is the same thing as like your text vibrating on your phone and you've got to go answer that and check it all the mm-hmm. time, because when you answer it, you get that little dopamine hit. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times it's just not productive to be doing that. So I've actually turned off all apps from my phone. I don't have any social media. I don't have email on my phone. I haven't had email on my phone for like 4 years now. And the only way I get my email is on my laptop. And I also have turned on these like inbox when ready things. So I would just put it on and it would pause my inbox. And then when I'm ready to answer email, I will time box maybe an hour or two to do my email for the day. And then I would cancel it. You know, I would say, all right, no more email today. So you know, like anything that comes in now, we'll have to look at later tomorrow. And if I don't get to it, then I don't get to it. You know, if people are trying to reach me and they're upset that I'm not answering them and there's issues and they get really worked up, well, gosh, you know, like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't get to everybody. And if somebody gets really upset, then, well, I'll give their money back and, you know, they can. But I just I find this to be a less hectic day, more productive, and also just I keep control of what I'm doing a bit more, because I couldn't figure out any other way to just, I would check back to Gmail all the time. I would come back and check what's new, who's emailing me, and I have like 5 or 10 things going at once all the time. So
you know. I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to that, and I'm actually still struggling with it myself. So it's definitely something that we need to keep reminding ourselves that it's, you know, you haven't really accomplished anything by just responding to your emails. It's, yeah, it's part of the job, but it's not your main, should never be your main focus. So I'll make sure to link to that tool. And obviously there's other ones. So yeah, definitely. The final one would be a book that you would recommend to the Introvert Biz Growth audience, and why?
Yeah, there's probably 2 books. There's a book called Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. It's a good read. It's short. I think David Blaine is a big proponent of this book. He changed his lifestyle because of this book. It's a book about, it's a little philosophical, I guess. It's about an aesthetic, and this is the word I can't say, aesthetic. You know, it's pretty much, Siddhartha used to be Buddha's name, actually, Siddhartha Gautama or something like that. But it's about figuring out, you know, how to live your life, I guess, and become, you know, find the meaning and reasons for doing what you're doing. And it's a novel. It was written in the 1950s, but it's about Nepalese little village, and there's a main character there that kind of looks deep inside himself to figure out why the existence, the meaning of life, and also just he does a lot of things like, you know, sacrificing his food and all the luxuries of life to find
it. It's basically the story of enlightenment, you know, how Siddhartha finds enlightenment. So definitely a good read and a good reread if you've already read it.
It's a little introverted, though.
It's very, it's introverted and obviously a bit woo-woo, right? So, but definitely make sure to link to that one.
I think it was a good one. I like Clayton Christensen's How Will You Measure Your Life? That's a good book.
Never heard of that one. Okay.
So Clayton Christensen is the guy from Harvard Business School. He wrote Innovator's Dilemma, and a lot of people have heard of Innovator's Dilemma. It's been a very popular book. And this book is about, this is a different book by him, and it's about, you know, he looks back on his life and all the different people that were in his business school. And he finds out that most of the people in his business school have become really successful in terms of career. So they've achieved amazing things, right? They're heads of McKinsey, right? Or they're executives at really large financial institutions, and they're in politics or wherever they are. Mm-hmm. But personally, they're really unhappy. They're probably the most miserable, depressed people he's met. And so he started examining, why is it that the more we achieve, the higher we rise in the corporate ladder or in terms of money or businesses or selling stuff, that the less happier we become. And he found out that these material, you know, you accumulate these material goods and you become hungry for more. And the only path forward would be to get more and more and more of what you've already got. So it's never enough. And so all of us are guilty a little bit of it. But I think it was like very eye-opening to me to read that and think, well, I guess I wouldn't even care. Like these days, I wouldn't even care. There's a certain level at which you're living comfortably and you shouldn't be like driven by money or fame or any of that, but more about kind of giving back of what you have to other people and trying to figure out how to do that properly. You know, like how do you figure out to live a comfortable life and give back to a lot of people and not be focused on more money and more fame and a better
Sounds house. Exactly like my kind of book. So what was the title again? Mention the
title. It's How Will You Measure Your Life?
Okay, make sure to add the link to that in the show notes as well. And I'll just add it to my Kindle reading list after we hang up here. So thanks so much for mentioning those both books. Very, very interesting, very unique, you know. After, you know, a bunch of these episodes, usually it's kind of like, oh, it's always the same books, but these have never been mentioned before. So
the other one that comes to mind, which was Susan Cain's Quiet.
Well, obviously that's the one that's always mentioned.
That's the one that's like always mentioned, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Good book, like I remember
it is, it is, yeah, definitely.
I like how she just like examines the two. I'm like, oh, so it's not even like wish, like I thought this is an introvert, this is an extrovert, but it's like, no, like introverts can be extroverts, extroverts can be introverts,
and of course, we're always a bit of both, right?
I think I was in college or something, I read that and I'm like, oh wow,
yeah. Well, wow, we're coming to the end here, Dimitri, and I always like to ask a final kind of a woo-woo question about what you're grateful for today or this week. And you know, it kind of has to do with what you mentioned before, living the moment. And so what are you grateful for in your business or life currently?
I'm grateful for just health, you know, having my two kids and myself and my wife and my family and my grandmother still alive. Just I'm really fortunate and blessed to just have a healthy family that is around and is excited to be on this planet doing what they're doing every day. And I talk to so many people and hey, you get lost in this, oh, my company isn't working well. People are canceling from my service. People are not coming to my site. And you get lost in this. You think about it. You're like, oh, am I doing something wrong? I don't have tons of funding. I don't have this. I don't have that. But then you talk to people that just had brain surgery or people that, you know, whose wife just died. And you're like, oh, wow, like, my troubles are absolutely nothing. And I talk to my customers and my students all the time, every day. And there's just so many like unfortunate stories out there for people happening to people. And, you know, like just really like great, being grateful for what you have has really helped me like just to stay happy with what I have and not push for more all the time. And I want to change things all the time, just be content with kind of what you have, because I feel like everybody wants something new all the time, and they're just,
of course, it's also that's how our society kind of trains us to think that, you know, you always have to move on to the next thing. So definitely agree with you, it's important to, you know, kind of have maybe a gratitude journal. That's what I do every night. I write down three things for what I'm grateful for, or, you know, it can be meditation, whatever kind of practice works for you. So definitely agree with that, Dimitri. Well, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for going deep into your story and to your business and all of that. So thanks so much for coming on.
Sure. Yeah, it was a great conversation. It was fun to be on the show.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of the Introvert Biz Growth Podcast. You'll find this episode's show notes at sarasenacroce.com/episode36. And if you're listening to this show on a mobile device, you can click on the description and you'll actually find all the clickable links in there. And again, if you want to get better at video, please join us for the 7-day training at sarasenacroce.com/luborton. Thanks so much for listening. This is Sarah Senacroce signing off from the Introvert Biz Growth Podcast. Remember, you need to use your unique introverted superpowers in order to make a difference.